Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss. Thank you so much to everyone who supported Tell Us Something during our annual fundraiser. Our participation in Missoula Gives this year was a resounding success thanks to your love and generous donations. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone. Thanks for helping us on the path towards sustainability. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? People often ask me how to tell a story at Tell Us Something. Go to tellussomething.org and click Tell a Story to see the theme for 2017. Click the link for the theme that resonates for you. A new page opens. Complete the form there, then call 406-203-4683 to pitch your story. This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on March 21st, 2017 at the Wilma in Missoula, Montana. 8 storytellers shared their story based on the theme, Don't Look Back. This edition of the Tell Us Something podcast comes to us from Bob Zimmerino and is titled, The Road to Diabetes is Paved with Ding-Dongs and Ho-Hos. Thanks for listening.
At the age of 70, my mother had a stroke. She was paralyzed from the neck down, except the use of her right arm and right hand. Pretty limited, though. Complications from diabetes. 4 years later, blind, having lost all of her teeth and on the verge of losing a leg, she called me and she said, I want to die. And I said, well, you've been telling me that since you had the stroke. What's different? She said, I'm going to. She decided that she'd stop taking her insulin. She told me she'd have about a week to live and would I come down. So, of course, I flew to Phoenix and spent her last week just kind of hanging out with her, playing some guitar and talking to her. You know, she had all this stuff go bad, complications from diabetes, and now all of a sudden she was dying. But it was pretty smooth. I mean, she stopped taking her insulin on Sunday. On Wednesday, she went into a coma. Saturday at 11:59 p.m., she passed away. Complications from diabetes. You would think I would learn something from this. Having sat there, having seen what the disease did to her, you would think that I would know better. She was 74, which made me 43, which in my mind was 29, which in man years is 18. I was invincible. I was invincible, and I ate like I was invincible for the next 12 years until I wasn't invincible. At 55, weighing 262 pounds, I was diagnosed as a type 2 diabetic. The surprising thing about diabetes is how people react when they find out that you have it. People come up to me and say, I heard you got diabetes. Yep. Well, how'd you get that? It's not the clap, okay? It's diabetes. 29 million Americans have diabetes, 8 million of them undiagnosed. It's out there. How did I get diabetes? I like to tell people like the old John Houseman commercial. I got it the old-fashioned way. I earned it. And I did. We'll talk about that in a little bit, though, because first I want to give you some information that I found out because I had help with diabetes, as most of us have that have it. I had help, and I wanted to find out how it all came together. So I did some research, and this is some little bit of fact-finding along the way, and then I'll get back into my own story. In the 20s, somebody developed a roller for a milling machine, a third roller, and it took the husks off of grains like rice and wheat, even sugar, actually. What happens when you take the husk off of rice and wheat is you take the nutritional value with it, as well as the fiber, which is the one thing that helps regulate the flow of sugar in your bloodstream. They took and they did this, and we became a white food nation. White rice, white flour, white bread. The problem is, without that nutritional value, 20 years later, people started showing up with beriberi and pellagra, diseases associated with malnutrition. The government hired some scientists to find out why. This is back in the time when government actually believed in science. What the scientists found was there were 25 more nutrients in wheat than there were in white flour. 25 more nutrients in wheat than there were in white flour. We better fix this. So instead of going back to becoming a whole grain nation with brown food, no, we have to stay a white food nation. We will enrich this food. So we became an enriched white food nation. You know, Wonder Bread helps build strong bodies in 12 ways. They didn't put any fiber back, but they did put nutrients in. In the 50s, television sets were popping up all over America, just like baby boomers, like myself. This gave advertisers a chance to market directly to children, and they wasted no time doing it. Cereals like Sugar Frosted Flakes, Sugar Crisp, Sugar Pops, Sugar Everything, with animated pitchmen like Tony the Tiger and Cap'n Crunch, the Sugar Bear, the little guy from Lucky Charms. They're magically delicious. There's no magic, it's sugar. And we are addicted. Let's face it, sugar and salt are the two greatest addictions we face as a food nation, and we are hooked. That's why ketchup is such the perfect food. It has both, with a little bit of tomato and vinegar. In the 60s, I went to Catholic school. Yes, a little Italian Catholic boy. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Went to Catholic school, and we didn't have a cafeteria, so I had to make my own lunch. So every morning, it would be me and the Wonder Bread throwing together a sandwich, reaching into the big old snack drawer and pulling out some chips and some ho-hos and some Twinkies and some donuts or whatever I could stuff in that bag, and I'd take it to school. Oftentimes, I'd trade with friends, but not for anything healthier. I went to my first fast food restaurant in 1968. It was a McDonald's in Rochester, New York. My dad took me. 49 cents got me a burger, a little cup of fries, and a 10-ounce Coke. Now, that burger weighed 1.6 ounces. There were 10 to the pound. If you go buy fast food today, they want you to buy at least a quarter pound or a half pound or three quarters of a pound or a full pound. They give you a wheelbarrow full of French fries and a bathtub full of Coke. How'd we end up diabetic? Good question. I look at what I did in my own life. Let's see, I worked in restaurants. Working in a restaurant, this is a scenario. Zimmerino, you've got 10 minutes, go eat. Well, you don't chew your food. I look more like a wood chipper. Gone. And this carried over into my daily life. My wife used to beg me, please chew your food before you swallow. My biggest worry is I'm going to come home and find you dead with a whole cheeseburger lodged in your throat. I entered food contests, eating contests. How much can you eat? Well, it turns out I could eat a lot. Blueberry pancakes, pizzas, whatever it was that they had out there, hot dogs, I tried them all. The worst was Twinkies. I once ate 52 Twinkies, 26 packs of Twinkies, and then I threw up for 3 days. To this day, I cannot look one in the cream-filled eye. Anybody else here ever been kicked out of a buffet for eating too much? Yeah. Yeah, the Royal Fork. My two buddies and I, we used to play football on Sundays, and we'd go there and eat them out of chicken and potatoes. After 3 weeks, they said, you're not welcome here. You aren't welcome here. And the more weight that I gained over the years, the less I felt like exercising. It was pretty much a foregone conclusion. At some point, this was all going to catch up with me. There's no two ways about it. And in the end, it did. Doctor said, got to put you on insulin. I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do something different. And he said, well, you know how you got diabetes? And I said, yeah, my first female relationship was with little Debbie. I then dated her cousin, Sarah Lee. In college, I had a thing for Marie Callender. And these days in my 60s, I got to tell you, that Betty Crocker's kind of a hottie. But I'm not that guy anymore. I started exercising. I started eating whole grains. I try to only eat whole grains these days, whether it be pasta, brown rice, or breads, whole grain breads. I stopped treating gravy like it was a beverage. I started walking. Walk, 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 walk. In the wintertime, I walk at the mall. I go flying around that place. I'm passing all these people left and right. Of course, they are all in their 80s. But I get cruising around the mall pretty good. The rest of the year, I play golf, and 9 holes of golf can net me anywhere from 3 to 5 miles, depending on how well I play. But I'm going to tell you the biggest thing that changed for me, the absolute biggest thing that changed for me. I got rid of my fat clothes. Because you see, they will sit in your closet and they will wait for you to come back. And they would call to me going, "We're here." Every other time, "You've come back." But this time I was determined not to. XXX these days refers to porn. Not my shirt size. Gone are my 44s, my 42s, my 40s, my 38s. 36s. Same size I wore in high school. Matter of fact, since I lost that weight, I can do the same number of pull-ups as I did in high school. None. But this was the thing. People make this mistake all the time. When they go on a diet, they look back. They keep looking back, and they see themselves as going back to that person again. And as soon as you start seeing yourself becoming that person again, you're on the path to becoming that person again. I made myself a promise this time, and the promise is one that I've stuck to now for 8 years, and that is, don't look back. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Bob Zimmerino is a father, husband, musician, poet, writer, chef, friend of the planet, dissident, and storyteller. While all of these titles fit him, what truly defines Bob Zimmerino is his belief in humanity. Thanks again to everyone who supported Tell Us Something during the Missoula Gives fundraiser. We appreciate your love, and your gift will allow us to continue making Tell Us Something happen in Missoula and across Montana. Thank you. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat offers a unique dining experience centered on local house-made ingredients. Dining made different. TopHatLounge.com. The Wilma, a locally owned and independently operated venue, the Wilma has anchored the Missoula cultural and entertainment scene for almost 100 years. Constructed in 1921 as a vaudeville house, the Wilma was utilized as a movie house for the majority of its history. In the 1980s, the Wilma began to once again host live entertainment. Now it is a state-of-the-art live music facility within a spectacular historic building and has become a destination for nationally touring musicians. TheWilma.com, CabinetParts.com. The number one source for cabinet hardware since 1997. Anyone searching for the best kitchen cabinet hardware at a great price needs to go to CabinetParts.com. CabinetParts.com, in business since 1997, combines knowledgeable hardware specialists with the best online shopping experience nationwide. With fast and easy ordering, free hinge matching service, and same-day shipping, CabinetParts.com is the direct source for all of your cabinet hardware needs. The Bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. The Good Food Store. Supporting Western Montana farmers and ranchers for almost 50 years, the Good Food Store supports the local folks creating their own beer, salsa, baked goods, ice cream, and more. The Good Food Store is a passionate supporter of Missoula nonprofits, supporting multiple organizations, events, and fundraisers every year. Learn more at goodfoodstore.com. Missoula Broadcasting Company. Missoula Broadcasting Company is locally owned and operates 4 radio stations. The Trail 103.3, Missoula's quality rock and part of our unique Western Montana community, featuring local DJs who love Missoula and know their music. Jack FM 105.9, playing what they want. U 104.5 FM, your at-work listening station. And ESPN 102.9, focusing on city, state, and regional sports, giving exposure and insight to teams and athletes in and around Western Montana. Martin McCain Woodworks and Design. If you're looking for custom, modern, or mid-century cabinetry and furniture to fit your home, check out Martin's work on Instagram. He's at Martin_McCain_Woodworks over there, and MartinMcCain79 on Pinterest. You can always friend up with him on Facebook, because if he's doing work for you, it's pretty likely you'll become friends. Facebook.com/MartinMcCainWoodworks. Enlighten Lab Float Center. Enlighten Lab Float Center is a spa featuring sensory deprivation or floating as a wellness therapy. Unplug, reset, and recharge in their state-of-the-art float tanks. Learn more at enlightenlab.com. That's ENLYTENLAB.com. Find. Find is a vintage store located in Missoula, Montana, that sells unique finds, antiques, eclectic furniture, and home decor. Currently in transition, Find will reopen its doors at some undetermined date. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at cashforjunkersmusic.com. If you're interested in sponsoring TeleSomething, email me at mark@telesomething.org. That's MARC@telesomething.org. Podcast production by me, Mark Moss. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and most especially to the storytellers Angela Miller, Travis Doria, Sam Martinich, George DiGiorgio, me, Mark Moss, Brad Cederberg, Bob Zimmerino, and Colin Hickey. For the most up-to-date information about Tell Us Something and upcoming events, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and subscribe to the podcast. The next Tell Us Something event is June 20th at the Wilma in Missoula. The theme is On the Road, and we are still seeking storytelling pitches. Sign up to share your story at tellussomething.org.